Hey everybody, today is July 20th, and you got to read Isaiah chapter 60 through 64 in your readings together. Now, reading Isaiah 60 to 64 is another piece of Isaiah that's unique from the rest of it. Did you ever notice how Isaiah follows this trend a lot like the Bible? 39 Old Testament books, 39 chapters in the book of Isaiah. 27 chapters in the second half of the book of Isaiah, 27 books in the New Testament. The New Testament ends with the new heavens and the new earth, and what do you know? The last chapters of Isaiah wind up with the new heavens and the new earth as well. You may have been reading through this and said, hey, even for a prophet, you know, I read this and this stuff has never happened. Well, that's because Isaiah is looking forward into the future about what is going to happen, about what's coming up in the future. Now, in Isaiah's description of the glory of Zion that is to come, Zion is a euphemism for Jerusalem in the future. When God's program for the nations has run its course, there's a lot of imagery that reminds me and should remind you of the end of the book of Revelation. In particular, the description that Isaiah's successor John gives of the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, and the new earth. Once again, the words of the New Testament author find their roots in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Now, Isaiah uses very much the same language that John does in Revelation when referring to the millennial kingdom. The language of Revelation 21 comes directly from, get this, Isaiah chapter 60. You probably saw some connections in there today. Now, before we leave the subject of dependence of the book of Revelation upon the book of Isaiah, it would probably be worthwhile to note another evidence of the same thing found in Isaiah 63. Its description of God's day of vengeance and redemption provides at least some of the imagery that pops up in Revelation chapter 19. There Jesus is pictured riding on a white horse, dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Did you notice that? Treading the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God. Revelation 19 builds on Isaiah 63. You can count on the fact that John knew his Isaiah very well and built on that imagery when it came to the visions that he was given from God, or, more appropriately, God had the same exact thing planned for Isaiah and John, and he gave them visions of this future that was to come. Well, a couple of other things. Way back in Isaiah 42, you remember we began to look at the servant songs, and we noted that everybody recognizes four servant songs, and some recognize a fifth servant song found in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Now, in the 61 version, the word servant isn't used here, and the passage is different than the others because the servant isn't being talked about. Why isn't he being talked about? Well, it's because he's the one who's speaking in this passage. Technically, I don't think that this is like the other servant songs, but even if we don't put it in the same bundle with them, it's clearly messianic in nature. It's the servant speaking about himself and his mission. Some commentators have attempted to explain the first part of chapter 61 by saying that these verses apply to Isaiah himself. Their view is that the prophet, upon whom the Spirit of the Lord has come, and that he is the one who is bestowing beauty for ashes with the good news of his message, and that all of this refers to Isaiah. That interpretation might work, except for the fact that Jesus gives us a definitive interpretation in the book of Luke. It comes from his own lips. Luke tells us that after the temptation experience, Jesus returned to Galilee, and there began his ministry by attending a synagogue in Nazareth. He walked up to the front of the room, sat down like teachers always sit down, and he selected the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled that scroll, and this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And when he had finished reading from Isaiah chapter 61, he looked at the people of Nazareth and he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Oh, imagine being in the audience at that time. when they see this prophecy that they've been waiting for 700 years to be fulfilled about a Messiah that's to come, and their homeboy, Jesus, comes back in and he says, today this is being fulfilled and I am that servant that you've been waiting for. Wow, what a moment, what a moment. Well, whatever else Jesus was claiming, he was claiming to be the servant, and he told people exactly what he was going to do. He was going to be there in order to care for the prisoners and the people who are the oppressed and those who are outcast. And he invites us to do the exact same thing. Now, Christians oftentimes don't view their calling in light of Christ's perspective. But if you're a servant of God, that's what servants do. You serve the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners. That's who Jesus came to reach. That's who we should be here to reach as well. And interestingly, aren't those oftentimes the very people we try to avoid? I think the reason is because that when we're around needy people, we're concerned about what's going to happen to ourselves. That needy people are going to cost us resources and sensibilities and time. And that if we hang out with them too much, if we, quote, get involved with them, then by the end of our involvement, they will suck me dry. And so we tend to avoid them. You know, when you help needy people, the price tag can be very high. Just ask Jesus and what it cost him to help the poor and the needy and those who are outcast. But Jesus said these are the exact people that he came for, and this is the exact hope that he came to bring them. I pray today that you're going to be filled with that glorious hope of Jesus that's found in the new heavens and the new earth, and that that hope winds up ruling your life, so that you too respond like Jesus by caring for the needy and the poor and those who are oppressed. May God bless you this day.